Ready to find your next favorite podcast? Start here.
After the invention of atomic weapons and the growing consciousness of the environmental crisis, we began to wonder seriously whether we'd be around to witness the future at all. This was the world in which Nova Spivak grew up.
As most of you know, last year, after 34 years at the Shoe Barn, I finally hit a wall and tendered my resignation.
Shoe Barn? Do you know Shoe Barn, Ash?
Yeah, of course.
I know Shoe Carnival. What's Shoe Barn?
It's like the same thing. It's like, you know, they've got like a BOGO sale every 5 minutes.
But I remember going for this interview. It was a really small company, and this Korean-American man opened the door, and the first thing he said to me was, "You're black." And I said, "You're Korean. Can I come in?"
Check out samples from these three podcasts: Into the Zone, It's a Wonderful Lie, and Boss with a Cause. Welcome to Start Here from Cincinnati Public Radio. I'm Trip Eldridge. Each week, we sample and highlight three podcasts to help you navigate the exploding podcast world and maybe find your next podcast obsession. Plus, get an email summary of each podcast we feature with our weekly Start Here email blast. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here Blast email at the bottom of the page. And if you like what you hear, please rate us an Apple Podcast. A 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. With special thanks to Cincinnati Public Radio's Jim Nolan and Kevin Reynolds, and curation, writing, and producing from Connor Eldridge, let's start here. It would be nice if everything in life was straightforward and simple, right? Unfortunately, that's far from the case. And no one knows that better than novelist Hari Kunzru, host of our first podcast this week, Into the Zone. Into the Zone is a podcast about opposites and how borders and binaries we follow every day aren't actually as rigid as you'd expect. With an author's eye for the unique and compelling, Hari takes listeners around the world, meeting philosophers and punk musicians, new age gurus and space explorers who bring their own insights into the many gray areas of life. From public versus private to black versus white, dreaming versus waking, and more, Into the Zone sets out to prove that the most interesting parts of life take place in the space between. Check out this snippet from the latest episode of Into the Zone, titled Dead or Alive. This episode takes aim at the binary of life and death, two things which seem to be absolute. But like tardigrades or viruses, some things are both dead and alive. And the more you really focus in, the more complicated things get.
With the arrival of space exploration, people stopped just thinking about the future on Earth and began to wonder about how humanity should present itself to other intelligent life forms. What kind of cosmic dating profile should we build to get potential partners to swipe right? And after the invention of atomic weapons and the growing consciousness of the environmental crisis, we began to wonder seriously whether we'd be around to witness the future at all. This was the world in which Nova Spivak grew up.
When I was about 8 years old, somebody gave me a big green book. It was a blank, giant, 800 or 1,000 page book, sort of a hardbound dictionary or encyclopedia, but completely blank. And I thought that was just the greatest present. I was constantly thinking about what would I write in this book.
Growing up in Boston in the 1970s, little Nova felt he had a special destiny.
Not long after getting that gift, I had this vivid dream. I was an adult during a time where some terrible environmental catastrophe took place that caused the authorities around the world to come to the conclusion that the air was not safe to breathe.
It's an epic science fiction novel of a dream in which he's one of a small number of people who survive the apocalypse and live in giant underground capsules.
There were these giant concrete cylinders, I mean, huge. Each one could have thousands of people living in it, many, many levels, and they were kind of drilled into the ground.
In Nova's dream, which really earns this cosmic soundtrack, a long time goes by. After a while, the giant cylinders begin to sink into the ground, and most people are suffocated. Nova is one of a small group of survivors who make it out. He realizes he's amongst the last people alive who remember the world as it was before the disaster.
That world doesn't exist. So what of it should we preserve and how and why? And so those discussions led to a decision to create a book of knowledge of history, of everything we knew. And in order to do that, you had to have a person whose role was to sort of be in charge of that project. And that person was me. That person was known as the keeper of the book.
Then, in Nova's dream, he dies. And he gets reborn. And he dies. And is reborn again. Like I said, it's an epic dream.
And then in my next life in the dream, I was the next keeper of the book. And then it started speeding up. And then I saw life after life flashing by at high speed, like maybe 100 of them. And I could see everything about that whole life, but it was like that. And then I couldn't remember it. It would be like, and I was like, this lineage of keepers of the book going off into the future, to the distance.
Finally, little Nova has a vision of a guy with a long beard living in some kind of hut or cave. It's a far future version of himself, keeper of the book, the last guardian of the knowledge of civilization.
That was Into the Zone from Malcolm Gladwell's Pushkin Industries. Let Harry Kunzru lead you on all-access tour of life's gray areas on Into the Zone. Available now on WVXU's Start Here podcast collection. Well, we finally kind of got through the holiday greeting cards. They are that unavoidable part of the holiday season, and by the way, the closest thing to homework that many of us experience nowadays. But if you need a break from all that boredom and bragging of holiday newsletters still, check out this next podcast, It's a Wonderful Lie. On this delightful short-form comedy podcast, hosts Ashley Flowers, Holly Laurent, and Greg Hess read between the lines of listener-submitted holiday cards, poking fun at the BS and horn-tooting that comes along with these traditional yearly updates. So if you're tired of rolling your eyes as Aunt Molly lays out all the ways her family has had a great year, send her letter into It's a Wonderful Lie, and they'll uncover the truth between all those wonderful lies. Don't take our word for it. Hear what It's a Wonderful Lie has to offer yourself with this clip from a recent episode titled Sunflower 1889. On the episode, Ashley reads Greg and Holly a letter from a widowed man who's decided to use his free time to get out and see the world.
It's a wonderful lie.
Greetings, friends and family. It's been quite a year full of ups and downs and new experiences. It turns out this year I've become quite the globetrotter,
whoa,
which, if nothing else, has provided me with plenty of fodder for this newsletter.
Quite a year to start traveling.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Careful, maybe this is an old one. I don't know.
This could have been pre-pandemic. He got out of here in January.
Good for Big Ed.
As most of you know, last year, after 34 years at the Shoe Barn, I finally hit a wall and tendered my resignation.
Shoe Barn? Do you know Shoe Barn, Ash?
Yeah, of course.
I know Shoe Carnival. What's Shoe Barn?
It's like the same thing. It's like, you know, they've got like a BOGO sale every 5 minutes.
34 years at a Shoe Barn, that's a long haul.
That is a long haul, because isn't it like, I know it's Shoe
Barn. Oh, wait, maybe I'm thinking of Dress Barn and Shoe Carnival. I have no idea what Shoe Barn is.
Shoe Barn? Because isn't Shoe Carnival, I remember when I lived in Indy, like Shoe Carnival, you go in there and like somebody's on a microphone and they're like, and for 15 more minutes, get over here like, by the checkout.
Spin a wheel,
yeah. Yeah.
Really?
It's like, oh my gosh, I just needed
chaos.
Some new joggers.
Oh my God.
As Braveheart would say, freedom!
As Braveheart would also say, 2-for-1 espadrilles.
Every man dies, not every man really lives.
Not every man has some really good insoles on sale today.
Not every man can get some Nikes at half price.
I had saved up a bunch of vacation time, so I decided to use that before looking for a new job.
Good
smart,
call.
Smart. Go on the Shoe Barn's dime, baby.
After spending basically my whole life in Boston, never traveling anywhere more exotic than Florida and once to San Diego, I decided it was time to venture out of the country for the first time to see what all the fuss was about.
Now, I would say, Big Ed, if you've been to Florida, you've actually been to the most exotic place in the world. So give yourself a little bit credit. It's like, yeah, I went down to Florida. I saw an alligator bite a guy's leg off who was on meth.
Yeah.
It was a great vacation.
It was a wicked amount of blood. I had to go get a Boston Lager.
After narrowing my list down to several hot spots, I finally decided to make my maiden overseas voyage to beautiful Amsterdam.
I definitely think this is pre-pandemic because nobody says hot spots.
Don't go to a hot spot, Big Ed.
Get out of there.
Pre-pandemic for sure.
The Holiday Comedy Podcast, It's a Wonderful Lie from AudioChuck. Whether they come by mail or email or Facebook posts, holiday newsletters deserve a little ribbing, courtesy of It's a Wonderful Lie. Available on WVXU's Start Here podcast collection. Just go to wvxu.org/starthere. Are you generally curious about career paths, personal stories, challenges, and triumphs of leaders in the nonprofit sector? Do you want to hear unique perspectives from Black and Brown leaders in this space? Are you an emerging Black or Brown leader seeking to become more equipped and empowered? No matter where your curiosities lie, this week's featured local podcast, Oz with a Cause, is just the podcast for you. Join host Naima Bila as she chats with Black and Brown nonprofit leaders, activists, and organizers for their thoughts on best practices in management, advancing the practices of diversity and inclusion in the nonprofit sector, and what it looks like for leaders of color to affect positive change. You can give Boz with a Cause a test run with this sample clip we pulled from a recent episode featuring Mark Williams, Chief Artistic Officer for the Cleveland Orchestra. In the episode, recorded pre-quarantine, Mark joins the show to discuss his experience as a Black man in a predominantly white space, as well as his mixed feelings on his distinction as the first Black man to manage artistic operations with a major symphony orchestra.
You occupy the space of being the chief artistic officer of arguably the world's most venerated American orchestra. And yet I don't know how many of us know just how amazing your story is. So I wonder if you can share with us a little bit about your earliest experiences with music, the orchestral realm, and what led you to enter the music space.
Of course, I'm happy to talk about my background because, of course, this connects so much to how I do my work now, and we bring our whole selves to this work. I'm originally from Cincinnati, a city I know you know well, and in Cincinnati, I went to public school and I got started playing an instrument really through the school's music education program. So I started playing the clarinet when I was in the fourth grade, mm-hmm. and I later switched to the French horn and ended up really against all odds at the Cleveland Institute of Music. And so I got a degree in horn performance from that institution, and I moved to New York to study horn performance at the graduate level at NYU. And then from there, I moved into arts management, and that was an interesting jump. I'm old enough that at that point, at the conservatory level, there was not a lot of conversation about careers in music other than being on stage. Mm. And I was at a great school associated with a great orchestra. And there was generally a sense that, well, we were all going to, you know, end up in the Cleveland Orchestra or the New York Philharmonic or, you know, the Concertgebouw. And of course, that's not true.
Right.
And I think even from an early age, I loved playing music, but it wasn't the only thing I loved doing. So I don't think I ever really had this just kind of fire in the belly that I wanted to be on stage. And again, this was a time where there just wasn't a lot of conversation about what the other options were.
Right.
And so the transition for me happened when in New York, I met a friend who was an opera singer, and she, a woman of color, and she was just at the point where she was seeking out management and taking that next step in her professional career. And she said to me, you know, Mark, you know, you're reasonably organized and kind of smart. Have you ever thought about being a manager? And I knew nothing about the business end of the music business. And so I started doing some research, and I was fortunate enough to meet some people. And I remember my very first interview for a management company. I don't remember the name of the company now, and I think if I did, I probably wouldn't name it. But I remember going for this interview. It was a really small company, and this Korean-American man opened the door, and the first thing he said to me was, "You're Black." And I said, "You're Korean. Can I come in?" I've always been mouthy, I guess. So we had this interview, and I presented my credentials. I had a degree in horn performance from the Cleveland Institute of Music, and I had studied with the first and second horn at the Metropolitan Opera. And he said to me, "Well, why aren't you going to work in pop music?" I said, "I don't know anything about pop music, but you know, you'd be so much more successful there, and you'd make so much more money." And you know, I think this guy is a gross example of the kind of prejudice we face. But I definitely faced that.
Wow.
Nevertheless, I ended up at IMG Artists, and I worked there for 7 seasons on singers and conductors and touring projects until I was recruited to the San Francisco Symphony to be their artistic administrator, and then on to the Cleveland Orchestra, where I started as the director of artistic planning, and now I'm the chief artistic officer.
Our local creator host, Naima Bila, with Boz with a Cause. Hear more stories and get more inspired with the help of Boz. That's B-A-W-S-E with a Cause. Available now on WVXU's Start Here podcast collection. Just go to WVXU.org and look for the podcast menu item. Before we wrap up, each week we take a look at the Apple Podcast charts to see what podcasts are new or up and coming around the nation by iTunesCharts.net. Well, a couple of new podcasts have bubbled up to overtake the Bible in a Year with Mike Schmidt's podcast. The most unique is The Apology Line from Wondery. It's about a telephone number in Manhattan that you could call and leave a message that you're sorry for something, no matter what, and no one would ever know. Everything from shoplifting to infidelity to drug dealing to murder were left on The Apology Line. And the man at the other end, Mr. Apology, realized he couldn't just listen to these revelations. He had to do something. That's The Apology Line, now number one on the Apple Podcast charts. To learn more about The Apology Line and the other podcasts we featured today, check out the Start Here email. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and choose the Start Here newsletter right at the bottom of the page. Thank you for joining us for Start Here, Cincinnati Public Radio's Discovery Podcast. For more about other podcasts we like, check out the Start Here collection at wvxu.org. It's our new specially curated collection of podcasts we think you might enjoy. Plus, check out the local podcast collection, podcasts created right here in Cincinnati by our local creators. And remember, if you've got a podcast or an episode you'd like to recommend, email us at podcast@wvxu.org. I'm Trip Eldridge for Cincinnati Public Radio, and thank you for choosing to start here.